Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
The show's namesake, BJ Shay, is on assignment, and running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hey.
Hi. On today's show, we will talk with Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed about the Halo TV series, Starfield, and PAX East. Vicky will talk about her favorite thing, pirates.
Yeah.
In Our Flag Means Death. And then, of course, we'll keep it around with Vicky with the Geek Sheet. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
There's more.
Or just search BJ Shay's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
So many ways to get a hold of us. And if you don't know how to spell that Odyssey, it's AUDACY. Because it's a whole conglomeration of like 8 different words that come together to make it. I don't know how it works. I just know that it's Odyssey.
Yeah. Odyssey.
Yeah. Let's get right with our guest because, like I said on Friday, we needed to push Gareth back here to Monday. But it doesn't mean that there's not a dearth of information because there is. I think that's the right word. I don't know. We've got a lot of information, though, with Mr. Gareth right now. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed In Review. That is SKNR.net. A great place to find out a lot of information because Gareth is on the pulse of all that nerdy stuff we love. And one of the big things is the Halo TV series. And you've had a chance to check it out, haven't you?
Yeah, I got to see the first 2 episodes ahead of time as part of South by Southwest and promotion for it. And I got to say, I went into it kind of, I've always been kind of borderline indifferent to the series. I, you know, played the first 2 on PC. I played Halo Infinite and I poked around with some of the other ones on console. And, you know, for me, while it's fun and all that, I feel it's kind of the argument some people make about various franchises and that it's essentially the same thing all every game, just with slight variations to, you know, the maps and stuff like that. And, you know, that being said, I liked the new game, got through it. But, you know, once I finished the campaign, there wasn't enough. The multiplayer and all the other stuff didn't keep me around. So I was kind of indifferent to the series. I was a little indifferent, especially with it. It has no real star power outside of Natasha Michaelhorn from Californication. You know, I didn't really recognize any of the names that were in it. And so the thing starts off and, you know, there's this colony and you see a very diverse cast. And, you know, in my mind, I'm saying, OK, this is for this market. This is for the European market, so on and so forth. You kind of, you know, let's see where they're going with this. And I did recognize one person from, you know, a couple other film franchises and so on. And then all of a sudden, the bad guys arrive. First person gets shot, blown to pieces, and you see basically a flaming body and bloody stumps. Another one goes up in a huge splat, and I'm like, heads exploding, and you're like, yeah, this is not going to be a children's adventure.
Jeez, okay, and, welcome you know, to the series.
Yeah, exactly. And they get, you know, they get into the camp, and they're just mowing these people down brutally, children, everything like that. And I'm like, all right. And then, of course, the Spartans arrive, and it goes into overdrive, and you're like, okay, I think I see where we're going here. So, you know, as the storyline unfolds, the effects were decent, and the action was much more adult-rated than I expected. And so, you know, I kind of think in some ways, I know this is probably a more PG version of it, but think about when they reimagined Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. how there was sexuality, there was more mature concepts, a little more graphic violence and stuff like that. Not to this level, of course, but it certainly let everyone know off this right at the start, this is not your campy 1970s Battlestar Galactica. And in a sense, that's what they've done with this. They've gone into it and said, you know, this is a mature telling of this. You know, a really good example, and it's funny because one of the production companies behind it is Showtime. If you think back to the original Stargate series, when they did the original season or so on Showtime, people forget that the very first episode had graphic frontal nudity, had violence and stuff like that. But as it went on and got to TV and stuff, it obviously became more appropriate and tonal. And that's kind of what you're looking at here, is that they're starting it off very clearly from the two episodes in that we're not going to be all about adult content, but we're not afraid to put it in there when it is warranted. And so it's, you know, that's my take. I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw, and I'm curious to see where they go. You know, some people are going to be upset. Master Chief takes his helmet off. You see his face. He talks out, you know, with the helmet off, that sort of thing. But I also understand that, you know, this was the whole Judge Dredd issue. Stallone wanted to keep the helmet on. The suit said absolutely not. Carl Urban was able to keep the helmet on, but you know, that's how it goes. So definitely check it out. It's going to be out on Paramount Plus, and I think it's worth looking into.
That's awesome. Like, actually, that like really got me stoked for it, because just when you're talking about it, I was like, yeah, is it going to be some sort of, you know, like, you know, for kids sort of thing? And I just like realized, like, it's such, like, the game's been out for decades, literally. So the audience is going to be older. Obviously, younger, you know, younger audiences have been playing the games as well. But I love just the fact that they're doing that. So I'll be really stoked for that. Moving on to the video game side of stuff, Bethesda is coming out with Starfield, and there has been a video release, but I'm not really sure if they actually have any gameplay in it or what they're really showing off, because I was really confused with it.
I think that's the whole point. It's a case of that we're getting to see more and more of it, but we're not getting to see it.
Yeah.
and that's where everyone is now. So we're kind of in that. We know it's coming. It's going to be on the Xbox Game Pass day one. So that is something everyone's real excited about. You know, everything we understand right now is it's just going to be PC and Xbox to begin with. We know that it's going to be this big open world concept, and that you can kind of go where you want, do what you want. It's not going to be as linear as other games. You know, the popular perception, and we've talked about this, is people say, oh, it's Elder Scrolls in space, and they're, you know, trying to push back from that, saying that's not really an accurate description. You know, the fact that it is a single person open world RPG is accurate, but, you know, don't think it's just a reskinning of Elder Scrolls. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And if there's something other than a dragon, you know, a spaced out dragon or something flying around, then we can wonder. But, you know, it'll be interesting. And I think what we're going to be seeing, and this is such a tricky thing, because all the things about it, you know, there are people saying it's coming out this year. It's coming out this year. That's why they're pushing it so hard. And you're like, well, you know, we don't necessarily know that. We've had some games that we all thought were coming out this year, and then we've been told it's coming early next year, so on. And you have to sit there and take it with a grain of salt, because, you know, traditionally, this is what I would say. I would look at it and say, all right, well, E3 is coming in June. Bethesda will have their showcase. That's probably when we're going to get a really good look at it and get a more definitive time frame. Because remember, this is the company that kept Fallout 4 completely under wraps. Nobody had any clue it was even a possibility. Dropped the trailer in June and said it'll be out in November. And sure enough, it was.
Yeah. and that was amazing, the fact that they could keep that under wraps. And it was starting to build up as it was getting closer to it, and everyone was speculating maybe, you know, the Boston area for the Commonwealth. But I mean, Starfield has been out there, at least in the rumors and like, or at least the acknowledgement of they are making this, for quite a while now. So, I mean, I don't want to really necessarily say like any day now, but I feel that it's coming sooner than later at this point.
Exactly. I think, you know, like I said, delays always happen, especially with the situation that we're in right now. You have to look at a couple of factors. Say you've got the acquisition of Microsoft, and I'm sure they're not going to necessarily shove it out the door. At the same time, I'm sure there is going to be the, you know, camp saying we need it in the stores for the holidays. And, you
True,
know,
yeah.
The fact that you're starting to see developer diaries, and I know this isn't always the case, but traditionally you don't see developer diaries for something that's still a couple of years off. I mean, so they're laying the groundwork, they're doing the marketing. And what I would say is, it seems to me like you're putting out these things to keep it in the conversation this would be traditionally when you drop some more news at E3 and then give us an idea. Now, you know, admittedly, they could still say, well, it would be coming in February. It's coming in March of 2023. But at least by the time it hits at E3, you would be able, they'd be able to say, you know, in theory, between now and Christmas of 2023, and they would at least have some kind of, you know, firm thing in place. And I think that's where they're at right now. I think it's a case of that there is a tentative idea in the gaming community, but we're all waiting for the final word.
Awesome. I'm really excited for that. And I mean, you did mention E3, but another convention that is pretty popular on the East Coast has branched out across many different regions, and even at one point Australia, is PAX. And what do you have in sort of the previews for PAX East here?
Well, that is going to be really interesting. PAX East is due out in April, around the 24th, and takes place in Boston. And, you know, a lot of speculation. We'll just call it exactly as it was. Last year, we had PAX East Online. There was pretty much all European indie companies with their games. And we've talked about this as well. PAX West had pretty much a similar approach in that we didn't see the traditional big boys, you know, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, Ubisoft, Capcom, go on, go on, and go on. It was basically smaller independent studios. And so that is kind of where we're at right now. We've had the big question with shows coming back like WonderCon and so on and so forth. Which of the big studios are going to start coming back and taking part in the shows? And the other day we found out that you're seeing a few of them. I'm not going to go out and say Sony's taking part. I think, you know, that's a conversation for another time. True. We do know that Gearbox is going to be there pushing Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. Makes sense. You know, that's releasing right around that time. We do know that Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be on hand. I've done a little bit of playtime with the beta on that. So, again, bigger profile title coming out. And then we've heard things about various competitions and so on that are happening. So we haven't had a list of anyone else yet. We're not at the phase yet where companies are starting to contact us about setting interviews. We're still, you know, just finalizing up who is going to be there covering for us. And it'll be interesting to see. It will be really interesting to see what is on hand there and how many studios are starting to return, because, you know, you kind of play that game of, while it's traditionally not as big as PAX West in terms of all the companies being there, they have had some very major companies there in the past. People forget that this was the last major gaming show to take place before the shutdown. I mean, we think back, PAX East and C2E2 carried it off, and there was all the talk that Sony had pulled out and others had pulled out, and the mayor was even saying, look, folks, we've, you know, the CDC said it is safe if we do X, Y, and Z. They pulled off the shows, there weren't any major issues, and then everything went crazy, everything shut down. So, you know, this is essentially a real big question to see how many companies are going to be pushing people back. And, you know, we'll go from there.
That's pretty exciting just to see just the aspect of, like, wow, the realization has been 2 years, but also getting back into those, seeing what's going to be going on. And again, yeah, obviously we don't know who all is going to be there, how much of a response or how much of a, you know, hopefully more than just indie people. But even at that point in time, a lot of things have changed, and sometimes you got to work with that. And I know you're going to be on the pulse with that, with your crew and all the people that help out with all of that. So people can go and check out Skewed and Reviewed. Again, that website is sknr.net. Get all that information and more right there. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, Gareth. Again, that is Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. That is sknr.net. All right, Vicky. It's your time to shine. We got to talk Pirates and Taika Waititi, which I think Taika is one of my most favorite directors. I think at this point, maybe top five, definitely top 10.
You will call him by his new name, which is Daddy Taika Waititi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
The messages, like, she was sending me while watching this. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, really? I love Taika. Like, I love the stuff that he's done. He's really good. He's done a lot of stuff that is based in his home home country of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that stuff too. But and obviously the director of Thor Ragnarok and
he's very good at being like very inclusive too with a lot of his works.
Yeah,
He not only is a phenomenal director, a phenomenal actor. He just seems like such a silly and fun human being. Even like when I've seen behind the scenes pictures of like Thor Ragnarok and other stuff, he just seems like a genuine and cool person. Like I would love to be his friend.
Yeah,
but him in a pirate beard is something I did not know I needed.
So yeah, this is an HBO Max show. Mm-hmm. Our flag means death, which is the pirate flag. You see the skull and crossbones. That's what you mean. So what is going on with this?
Okay, so apparently, according to IMDb, and I had no idea about this, and I've seen, I want to say 4 or 5 episodes at this point.
Mm-hmm.
This is based on a true story, I guess. I did not know. It's the year 1717, and you're following this really rich guy named Stede Bonnet. And he was basically a rich boy, but his dad hated him because he didn't know how to get dirty, like kill livestock and do all these other things. He just wanted to pick flowers. He was just a very frilly guy. And he ends up going through a midlife crisis and decides to leave his cushy life along with his wife and kids to become a pirate.
Bye, I'm gonna go be pirate. Peace.
But think of frilly, I'm trying to figure out, do you guys remember in Pirates of the Caribbean, Elizabeth Swann's dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get. Like, very proper. He loves his books, and they even make fun of him. It's like, you brought an entire library? That is so impractical. Like, what do you do when there's a storm? And he's like, my books!
Then they go away, yeah.
So I'm imagining Bilbo Baggins.
Yes, so if you could mix Bilbo Baggins with the Elizabeth Swann's dad, but he's actually genuinely a really nice guy. And at the beginning of the first episode, he talks about yes, I got my pirate crew. We don't really do a lot of pillaging. We're not doing the share of the booty where you steal a bunch of stuff and then you split it. He pays them each a wage. So even when there's downtime, they're still getting paid. They're all fed. It seems like he's just throwing a summer camp on a pirate ship.
Fair enough.
And the pirates on the ship, they're like, we're going to kill him. You know, this isn't what we signed up for. We want to be pirates. And it's just all the shenanigans he gets himself into, mostly by accident. It is so funny. It is so well done. And I love that they do a mix of the British accent. But then there's some characters that have an American accent. there are so many actors in this that pop in that you're like, oh my God, is that Leslie Jones?
I'm looking at this on this cast list and I'm just like, what?
Yes.
I love it because Christian Nairn, which you may know as Hodor.
Yeah.
He is in this. Does he speak in this?
Yes, he does.
Oh, interesting.
And they keep his star tattoos because in real life he's got face tattoos. Yeah. And they keep those in the show too. Oh,
that's funny.
Who's the other actor? Fred Armiston makes an appearance. Nick Kroll. I'm at the episode right now with Nick Kroll and Kristen Schaal, who we know as, if you've watched Bob's Burgers, she plays Louise.
Oh, yeah.
She has that very iconic voice. You're like, you immediately know who that is when you hear her voice. But she plays Antoinette.
And she was also on Last Man on Earth with Will Forte.
Yes. But you are going to, phenomenal actors. You can tell this was hey, we want to do this thing. And he reached out to his buddies do you guys want to be a part of it? And they're like, heck yeah.
Right.
Every episode seems to have a new person. And it's utter shenanigans, even down to some of the names of the episodes. One of the ones I can't wait to get to is The Art of Effery.
Oh. And probably not edited.
No. Probably not.
But there's actually got a lot of real moments. There is a little bit of what I call the James Gunn thing with the daddy issues.
Why does everybody gotta have daddy issues?
I mean, he's got growing up issues. He was never really meant for the life he was at. He always wanted a little bit more adventure, but he kind of got accustomed to that life. He is part of that life. He is a fancy pants, aristocrat. And you can't really take that out of him, but he wanted more out of life. And then you find out that one of the most ruthless pirates on the sea kind of wants the opposite of what he has.
Oh.
So it's like,
you be a fancy pirate?
Possibly? He has a nickname. He is the Gentleman Pirate.
There you go.
He's the Gentleman Pirate. And it's funny. There's sometimes they'll break into what do they call it? More modern terminology or things. At one point, somebody's like, okay, see you later. And he pounds it.
Pound fist.
Just stuff like that. They will break into bro or dude sometimes. You can't take it 100% seriously because it's no. And it's so fun.
The best part about this, whether you want to binge it or not, the last episode is going to air on this Thursday, the 24th.
Yes.
The two of the last ones, it looks like it's
9 and 10.
Yeah, it looks like there's 10 episodes for the seasons. So this is a perfect time to hop in. You can see whether or not you're down for it. And if you want to binge it, usually how Vicky goes about it, then you can binge it.
Right. But yeah, let us know what you guys think, because this was a lot of fun.
Well, Vicky, stick around, because now it's time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what is going on?
So on Friday, we did talk about Joe seeing the Batman and heard his review, and he obviously really enjoyed the Penguin and his portrayal.
Yes.
And let's say probably perfectly cast.
Oh, yes.
I found this article from Ranker saying 22 actors that were perfectly cast that nobody else could embody the role.
Okay.
Ooh. And that's kind of why I got me thinking. And I'm curious to see, and this is ranging, there's a lot of like superhero type and like anime, like not animated, but like kids type shows and movies.
All right.
You guys give me one and see if it's on the list.
The first one that comes to mind is Heath Ledger as the Joker.
He is definitely on the list. He is number, where'd you go?
And it's Ranker, so it's kind
Seven.
Of all over the place when they,
because
it's based off of people voting.
Yes.
So,
God, I hate people.
I mean, some of the other ones that made it beforehand, it's... You can't blame him.
All right, let's go with the obvious one.
Okay.
That would be Tony Stark.
Oh, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. That is a super... Yeah, I mean, that is... Like, there's nobody else who could be him.
Even if it's like another, you know, multiverse situation, I don't want a whole series or a whole bunch of him. But like, if they give you, like, there's rumors, and I don't know if it's true or what, that Tom Cruise is going to make an appearance as Iron Man.
Hey, I mean, it could be possible. It could just be the variant thing. And I mean, Tom Cruise has also appeared as Austin Powers in the beginning of Goldmember.
But that's as much as I want to see from him. I'd want just a little bit. I don't want a whole thing.
Like, I agree.
Maybe two lines and that's it. I don't want more. But no, Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark came in at number 3.
No, good call. Oh,
all right,
that's
all right.
That's a good one.
Oh, man. So I'm trying to think of outside of the, of just like the whole nerd genre.
These are all movies?
Just characters.
Characters, okay.
So it could be from movies and shows. There is a lot of movies, though. I will say number 1 and number 2. Number 2 is in the nerdy world.
Okay.
Number 1, it's like kid and nerdy, I guess, ish.
Mm.
It's kind of hard, but.
Oh, no. Don't tell me it's Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
No.
Okay.
I was going to say, that's too early.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, maybe he does, but I've loved all of those Spider-Men, and so I don't necessarily think, like, all three of them perfectly embody each Spider-Man. They have all the strengths and weaknesses.
Mm. I will say number 2 does involve a red suit.
Does involve a red suit.
It's not
suit.
Santa or Spider-Man.
It was like, what was it, Tim Allen as Santa and the Santa Claus?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, is it, what's his face, is Daredevil?
No,
Charlie
I'm sorry.
Cox
sorry,
is Daredevil?
For a second, I thought you meant Ben Affleck's Daredevil. No. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
No. Ben Affleck is not going to make it on this list.
But on that note, I am going back to comic books, but it would be Shane from The Walking Dead as the Punisher. John Bernthal.
He's a good one, but that is not a red suit.
I know.
I agree with you on that, though.
Come on, you're missing the obvious red suit.
Red suit.
He sometimes hangs out with Spider-Man.
Oh, jeez.
It's not Daredevil?
No.
Red suit. Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds.
Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds. Jeez,
I'm just like, a minute. I know, I'm just like, but you already shot down Daredevil. I don't know any other red suits. And it's obviously the most important red suit. And
nobody
else
could play Deadpool.
You're absolutely correct. Even when it was the terrible version of Deadpool from Wolverine Origins, it still... I'm like, I was still happy that he was Wade Wilson at the beginning, because he still had a mouth on him.
Oh, yeah. He was a sassy
baby. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you guys want to try to guess the first one, or do you want to just give me other ones?
Tom Hiddleston is Loki.
Ooh,
that's a great one.
Because I couldn't imagine, other than Matt Damon, when he's doing the little
good,
scenes
the acting,
in between those. And those are just, I mean, for jokes and such like that. That'd be kind of that Tom Cruise sort of thing. I feel that he should be on that list.
Funny enough, let me see. I'm not seeing him.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, he might be further down the list. I'm looking up to like 20.
And I loved all the Loki variants, but at the same point, even with Sylvie, which I thought was an amazing character, like, I just like Tom Hiddleston's Loki as that.
You know what comes up for me? It's not superhero, but Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus.
He is on the list.
Oh, good call. Like, even in the Resurrections, the not Fishburne Morpheus, like, it was like, yeah, and I get why they didn't have him in the movie, because it makes sense in a derivative sort of way that he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a program, and I'm a little bit off from the original, and it made sense, and I liked that. But it also reinforced what you're saying, that Lawrence Fishburne is definitely that.
And he was number 13.
Ooh, nice.
John Wick. Or Keanu as John Wick. Like, John Wick as Keanu. Yes. Back and forth on that one.
No, but John Malkovich as John Horatio Malkovich came in at number 14.
Well,
okay,
I mean,
come on.
Okay, yeah. Like, being Malkovich, like, the only person who could be Malkovich would be Malkovich.
Yeah.
Malkovich.
Yeah, no, but no, Keanu Reeves is not, at least not in the top 20.
Boo.
Oh, man.
Let's see. I'm trying to see if I can give you any
more. Give us a hint for the number one.
He started off as a cartoon character, and when they cast him as the live action, like, there has never been a better one. It never will be.
So he started off...
The character was a cartoon character, and then they did a live action movie.
Oh, and he was it.
And he's done the, like, there have been cartoons since the movie, and he has done the voice for these cartoons, for this character.
So it's got to be a Batman, right?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, man.
It's not a comic book movie.
Oh, man.
It is, but it's based off a children's show.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm stumped.
Like, this is going to be one of those ones where we're just like, oh, yeah, duh.
Zoinks.
Oh, geez. Matthew Lillard as Shaggy.
Yes.
Which has been absolutely 100% on target with that.
Not even literally just, like, one of the best. The voice, everything.
He does that voice so good that when he was at a convention and it was a little girl, like, having a meltdown, he did that voice and she immediately went over to him and hugged him.
Aww.
Like, it was one of those things where it was just like the calming effect of just that familiar voice. And he does obviously kind of look like Shaggy. But he's just been all in on that. Like, it's just adorable.
I think... Oh, go ahead.
I was saying, it's so wild. He also was like a horror villain.
He's a horror villain. He's a massive D&D nerd. Like, he is the perfect geek. I'm just going to say it right there.
I heard something along the line. Like, somebody did an appreciation post for him. They're like, he has so much range because he was in, like... I always forget the first part of it. It's like L something.
SLC Punk.
SLC
Salt Lake
Punk
City.
Which I actually did see, and... He has phenomenal range, and he's a very underrated actor because you kind of think of him as the Shaggy guy or the horror movie guy, but he's really, really, he's really great.
Yeah.
And he actually replied to that. He's like, you guys have no idea what this means to me, like, to have all this appreciation come my way, kind of along the same lines as Brendan Fraser.
Oh,
like him seeing all the support he's been getting. And I feel like he probably is one of those guys that suffers from imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes him that much more endearing.
He was recently on a Magic YouTube video for their products for Neo Kamigawa.
God, really?
Yeah. He's a bit, like, with all of that stuff, he's a big geek.
Do you guys want to guess anymore? Or would you like me to run down?
Just run them down. Run them down.
What about Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter?
Oh,
I don't think I saw that one, but that is a good one.
Any of the Harry Potter kids, I felt like they're like, you can't really replace the three of those ones. Like, I feel like obviously they replaced Dumbledore because the guy passed away.
Oh, so sad.
And then, like, I mean, even like Ralph Fiennes as Voldemort, I feel that you could still kind of get away with something else on that end. But like those three main, I feel that they would be good on that.
My favorite actor, who his name I always forget who played Sirius Black.
Gary Oldman.
Thank you. Yes.
So Gary Oldman is on the list as everything he has ever been cast in.
Because I was like, oh yeah, he's perfect as Zorg in Fifth Element.
So good,
he's really good as he was Dracula in the Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, dude, it's really good. It's super good.
It's number 15. Gary Oldman in everything. The person wrote, "Go look in the mirror. It's Gary playing you. He's just that good."
The one thing also that it was controversial at the time, and I've mentioned this before. But Tom Cruise as Lestat in Interview with the Vampire, really, really good. And I can't really necessarily see anybody else playing him because of how well he did it. And there was the Queen of the Damned movie that came out, which had a younger rock and roll star, Lestat. And the movie's hot trash. It had a really, really good soundtrack. Especially if you love Jonathan Davis from Korn. But beyond that, the movie, I have gone back recently and watched it just to see if it was that bad. It was that bad. But Tom Cruise as Lestat was a solid one for me as well.
All right. Number 4 is another one of those, like, this actor in everything they've ever been in, and it's Tim Curry.
Dude, yeah.
Tim Curry in as Long John Silver in Muppet Treasure Island.
That's
the
right.
Butler in Clue.
Yes.
As Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
As the weird monster in Ferngully.
Oh, yeah, the smoke monster.
Hexus, I guess is his name.
Yeah, and I would even say, other than the fact that I think Mr. Skarsgård beat him out for Pennywise.
I mean, they're like, both they're both great in
their own way. Yeah. But I feel that he's a little bit more iconic on that end, but a lot of the Tim Curry stuff.
Number five is actually an entire cast of the Addams Family, but the movie. Between Angelica Houston, Christopher Lloyd, Julia,
Christina Ricci, and then whoever played Pugsley.
Pugsley!
The poor guy.
Yeah, he was fantastic, though. And then even like in the first one, it was Joan Cusack was in it.
She was great in that as well.
Joan Cusack.
Joan? Did I say Joan?
I actually liked her.
All
right, quickly run down the rest of the top 10.
Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter for number 6.
Mm-hmm.
7 was Heath Ledger as the Joker. 8 is Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, yes. 100%. And even as Professor X. Like, I do like...
Older Professor X, because...
Yeah.
Younger Professor X, I mean... McAvoy stole
it. I know, he did really good with that, but I still really, really like Pat Stewart as Pat, because, you know, we're friends.
Right.
But I really liked him as that.
Number 10 is Vincent D'Onofrio as Edgar, but I really think they should switch it to Kingpin.
Yeah. I like Michael Clark Duncan's Kingpin, but Vincent D'Onofrio just takes it up to another level.
I know. I'm hopefully this week can get my dad to binge Daredevil now that it's on Disney Plus.
Do it.
And until next time, stay nerdy.